Let's unpack the toolbox of technology that is promising to redefine retirement planning. But does it actually deliver? This episode, Nathan and I are going to look at some different things, waves of innovations in the financial space, and see if they truly help simplify the planning process or introduce new complexities here on The Financial Answer.
Life is full of questions. It's full of twists, turns, and complex issues to try to figure out. You need answers. Welcome to The Financial Answer with Nathan O'Brien.
Hit it.
You'll hear us discuss the pitfalls and common investing mistakes we see people make and encourage you to think about solutions to some of the problems and question marks you might face in your own financial life. So let's get to the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the podcast. Nathan and I here to talk investing, finance, and retirement. We're going to piggyback on our prior podcast conversation about things just being more complicated with a technology conversation. Does it make it easier or does it make it more complex? So we're going to dive into some things this week and get Nathan's pros and cons on a few of the items out there in the retirement planning landscape. So that's on the docket today. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm hanging out. Looking forward to chatting with you about stuff.
Yeah.
What you been up to this? We're into March, baby.
It is. Yes, it's tax time, brother, and it's busy around here this time of year. So, yeah, it is. We just, you know, getting things together and not necessarily planning or anything, but just getting things together for clients and answering quick last-minute questions and stuff like that. Yeah, it's busy this time of year, but I love it. I love working with people with this stuff and enjoy this. I'm a weirdo. You know that.
So. That's all right. We all need a little weirdness in our life.
That's right.
It makes for the more That's interesting right. day. If we were all exactly the same, boy, it's so boring.
Oh, yes, yeah. It would. And, so. You know, technology, that's what we're talking about. It does make things so much easier in
does
some
it?
Categories, you know. But,
does it?
But it also can cause a lot of issues in times, you know, and that's what we run into a lot. But anyway, I'm looking forward to having this conversation with
you today. Well, let's start out. Let's jump in here. Yeah. Let's kick it off with I would consider this the 800-pound gorilla in the room, this first one here, because it's so easily accessible for everybody to use in every walk of life, and we all do. And that is the lovely Google.
So I mean, that's what we do. You know, if we know, we're like, well, Google it,
everybody,
babe,
or
whatever, you know?
Yeah, I don't care what age you are, right? You're grabbing something, you're probably Googling something.
That's right. That's right.
And you know what? So as a professional, Nathan, who does this day in, day out for many, many families, what's your take on using it from a financial space? I think Google, to me, is a great resource to get some baseline information, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But you've got to be smart and realize that, of course, the world has changed, and we know that half of what we see is disinformation.
Yeah, that's true. And it opens you up to just so much wrong information. You know, I mean, there's so much information out there about investing. You could never figure it all out. You know, you don't have time in your whole lifetime to do that.
But, I know, isn't that crazy?
It's insane just the amount of information that's there on stocks or mutual funds or whatever. I mean, it's just a simple thing like that. But what I see a lot of times is it takes people down a pretty good path to begin with, but then, wow, there's rabbit holes everywhere that it leads people into. And, you know, then I end up getting questions of, well, you know, I read that I should put everything in crypto right now and all this stuff. And so, or the gold sales ad pops up and, you know, everything needs to go into gold, items or whatever. It's just, you've got to be careful with what you read and definitely apply some sense, but also just make sure that, you know, you're looking at more than just one area of this with Google. And so, you know, internet's great, tons of information out there, but that's what happens is it's information overload and just overwhelms people most of the time.
Yeah, and I think, again, if you're looking for some good baseline information or just to kind of get a couple of quick answers on something, or maybe not even answers is the word, but I guess just kind of a quick primer on what this means, right?
Yeah.
You know, what is it, you know, because if you Googled annuity, for example, you know, you're obviously going to get inundated and you're also going to get a lot of opinion with that.
Right.
And so if you walked into it and said, okay, I just want to know basically how they work, and then took that to a financial professional
Perfect.
And said, okay,
yeah,
is this a good fit for me, right? And then you guys can discuss those pros and cons versus I hate annuities and you should too, or annuities are the greatest thing ever, right?
You know, one of the things that I do like is people will, a lot of times will, you know, search Google and say, what questions should I ask an advisor, financial advisor?
That's great.
You know, that gives you a great starting point to say, you know, here it is. But the problem with Google is it doesn't know how old you are. It doesn't know your risk tolerance. It doesn't know all these different things, what your goals are, what you're trying to, all that stuff matters with what your plan does and what the way you invest and how you do things. And so,
You know, that's actually a great segue, you just saying that. So let me pause you right there, because the next one was robo-advisors. Okay.
You just
got through saying it doesn't know this, this, and this. Well, some people say, well, yeah, but you're putting that into a robo-advisor, so doesn't it help you a little better? Well, you're going to put your age. Okay. You're going to put some of that stuff.
Right.
But can you tell a robo-advisor that, you know, this is my dream, this is my want, this is my, or can you convey that in a way to say, I've got a 20-year-old daughter and I expect sometime in the next 10 years she's going to want to get married and I'm going to have to pay for that. And you can't go back to the robo advisor and say, oh, she just sprung it on me and now she wants to go to Mexico for a wedding.
Right.
You know, or whatever.
No, that's right. And, you know, it's kind of funny, but I, you know, talking about that, I have clients in their 70s that based on their goals, based on what they're trying to accomplish, they're super aggressive because they don't need the money. They're leaving it to kids and grandkids. They want it to be as much as possible. Their time horizon's really long.
Okay.
They're super comfortable with volatility. And so, I mean, a robo-advisor almost can't do that, you know, because of just not being able to have that conversation with you. So, I mean, that is an unusual circumstance, yes. But those kind of things are what you use an advisor for. Everyone uses an advisor for those kind of things. And so if you don't have any complicated situations or anything that you have special goals or things that you want to accomplish, then maybe a robo-advisor can work fine for you. But make sure you have a conversation with an advisor first and just see. I mean, because it's just hard to actually access things a lot of times. I mean, we've seen issues with that in the past, especially when markets have a lot of volatility. And just having someone you can talk to when things are bad is very, very comforting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as a professional, you know, you guys heard for a number of years, robo-advisor's been around, what, 7-8 years now?
Yeah,
this point, probably.
They're
going to put you out of business. Everything's going to move to, and now AI is
one of the best things.
Worse, right? So you just kind of begin to realize, okay, this is not the fit for everybody, and everybody's what they're looking for. And I think the younger generation sometimes kind of pushes its way into some of this space where they're like, oh, I don't need all that extra. And that could be true, right? Because if you're 25, maybe the few of the things are 30, the things you're trying to do, a robo-advisor might actually work for you.
Yeah.
Because
you're not
really thinking about the retirement, which is the multiple, like all these extra things that we talk about all the time, right? There's like the 40 different things that you got to take into account for retirement. So
no, that's right. I mean, and we've even seen a small transition of firms even using robo-advisors for the firm platform. So the robo-advisor does all the trading for the firm, all of that kind of stuff. Mm. And so that actually has helped the consumer with driving costs down a little bit there, but they still have an advisor that contacts them.
Gotcha. A little hybrid, if you will.
Yeah, that's kind of what we've seen with some things there. So that, I mean, it hasn't been all bad with that, but it's just not, of course, what I see with people, because everybody wants to work with an advisor that works with us. And so it's not something that has taken the lion's share of the market for sure. It's definitely a good benefit, I think, in some areas, but you have to be careful, and it's not a perfect fit for everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're doing. We're pros and cons here on some of the different things in technology. How about online calculators? What's your take on these? They're everywhere, and you can use them for mortgage. You can use them for retirement.
Are. Yeah.
Is it good for a quick kind of review, or
it depends? Okay. I mean, to me, it depends. The worst ones to me are the Social Security calculators. Those are terrible, you know, because number one, they don't know how much you made in your lifetime. There's no way that you can actually get an accurate number from an online Social Security calculator. It's insane how off they are most of the time. So please don't use that. Go to SSA.gov, set up a login, password, all that stuff, and actually see what your number is, because that really makes a difference. I mean, it could be off by $500 a month or $1,000 a month based on, you know, what you tell it that you've made the last year, it's going to assume you've done that for a really long time frame, and it may give you a lot more income in the fake calculator than if you actually go to the ssa.gov and see what, you know, see what your number is. So
yeah,
that's fine. You know, I see a lot of investing calculators, they'll do the 10-12%, you know, annual calculation return, that kind of thing. That's okay. You know, we haven't seen that return in the last 20 years in stocks. And so you have to be careful with assuming that you're going to make 12% for the next 20 years or 30 years or whatever. It may happen. It may not. You don't know that. So I would suggest maybe looking a little more conservative than that number. So online calculators are good, but again, it's not going to be exact, and they can be really, really far off if you're not careful.
Okay. All right. So the online calculators. So what about do-it-yourself trading platforms like Scottrade or E-Trade? Again, I think these can be very useful, and obviously tons of people use them. But how do you kind of feel about them whenever you're doing this from a professional standpoint?
So I think at first they were extremely helpful because they helped the cost come down. Custodians before that time were charging a lot more for trades and for purchasing, you know, buying, all that kind of stuff was a lot more expensive on trading platforms than it is now. And I think that in part that is to companies like Scottrade, E-Trade, all these online do-it-yourself trading platforms got out there and said, hey, we'll do it cheaper. And it drove the entire market cost down, which was nice. That helps all consumers with that, I think. And that's been a good benefit. Just like everything, doing it yourself. I mean, you're not going to try to pull a tooth yourself for the most part, or you're not going to try to do surgery on yourself or whatever. I mean, it can be good. It can be really bad if you mess things up. And so there's not a lot of guidance. A lot of times those trading platforms will get your email, get your contact information, and they will load you up, just inundate you with constant advertisements of buy this stock or this fund that actually is a little more expensive. And that Scottrade, for an example, makes more money on. Okay, so you've got to be careful with those kind of things when you get into those platforms. It is there. It is, you know, they are not necessarily a fiduciary for, they're not actually a fiduciary for the investor. So they're not required to do what's in your best interest. They can load you up and try to get you to buy the most expensive stuff that they sell. So be careful with that.
Yeah, and I think with the, you know, the do-it-yourselfers, or even with retirees, right? If some folks, they want to work with an advisor like yourself, Nathan, and they're like, you know, but I still want to have my account for some of my dabbles. That's okay, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's fine. I mean, as long as you're being reasonable on that, and that's a question to talk to your advisor about and say, you know, how much can I play with? What's that number? And that's different for everybody as a percentage of your account, but you know, that's fine. There's no problems with that as long as you understand that, hey, that can go to zero. And if it does, it doesn't ruin my retirement plan. And also if it, you know, goes from 10,000 to 100,000, it's probably not going to, I mean, it's not going to change my life in that case. And so that's just something to, you know, have a conversation with your advisor about and see how it impacts you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So again, we're talking about this technology pieces, right? So, you know, everything I think in moderation in this world nowadays, right? Certainly in this in the world that we're currently in.
Right.
All right, let me jump around a little bit on here. What do you think about educational webinars and online courses? I think this is a nice pro to the technology standpoint.
It is.
In a way. Let me clarify that a little bit. Now, there's something, you see these things like, hey, take my course and learn how to 10X your cash. That's probably not the same thing as taking a webinar on, you know, how does taxes work for a retired person
that's
or something
right.
like that, right?
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
Thoughts?
No, that's exactly right, Mark. The first one is more entertaining, definitely, and probably gets a lot of people that attend those webinars. But there's also probably a lot of people extremely disappointed in that in 6 months, you know, when you're trying to, you know, all these different too good to be true webinars that you see online. I mean, that's what they are. It's too good to be true. But educational items, especially if they're offered, you know, through a fiduciary or through a university or something like that, I mean, that's going to be typically a beneficial option to learn things, you know, learn about different topics, learn about certain ideas that you are interested in. Those are great. I mean, technology is great. That makes it where you don't have to go sit in a classroom all day long. You can actually just, you know, enjoy that from the comfort of your home in the recliner or whatever, you know, it's nice with that. So
okay.
That has been a great positive
nice
change,
positive.
I
yeah.
think. Yeah. Yeah. And we still see, you know, some of the crazy marketing, crazy advertising stuff with ideas that are just really far off. But for the most part, I think they're beneficial.
Okay. What about personal finance software like Quicken?
Yeah, I personally love QuickBooks. It makes my life easy for sure. You know, those things are really nice. I think they're super beneficial. They can really help. One of the things that is a big kind of financial planning software that goes along these lines is eMoney. Are you familiar with that, Mark?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. So, I mean, that's an avenue where, you know, a lot of times advisors or firms or whatever will have clients input all their account information, and it links that where the advisor can see everything, and it helps potentially do the job easier and all of that kind of stuff. But what happens is those links are broken all the time between eMoney and the banks. And so reminding clients to update those things, that can be a headache, and it actually ends up being a lot more trouble than it actually is a benefit for clients and for the advisor alike. So a lot of this personal financial software, finance software and stuff is good. It's neat, but it also requires a little bit of work, you know, to keep things lined up like you need and all that. And a lot of times people just don't want to do that and don't want to take the time to do that. So that's what I find is this stuff is good. It's got a spot, it's got a place, but realize that it doesn't take away all of the work that you have to do with just making sure that it's linked right or set up right or the information is linked correctly there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, a lot of the software and technology can be very cool and helpful, but you've got to be careful also in how you use it.
Right.
It makes things very, very easy for sure, but don't get overly, I don't know, maybe dependent as maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's right. I think that's probably the best way to respond to that is don't get too dependent on it because it can be broken pretty easily and
yeah.
mess up things.
Well,
easily.
And you know, like we all know that software companies are constantly doing updates and patches and this, that,
yeah.
and the other. And the next thing you go, why did they change that? It was great before.
That's right.
You know.
And yeah, it seems like it doesn't connect better now than it did before
yeah,
that
exactly.
update.
Well, okay. Speaking of connecting, let's do one or two just quick more here on technology,
okay.
and then we'll wrap
okay.
this up. Mobile banking apps. So like 7 years ago, I think you'd probably see half people saying, I don't trust it. I'm still going to go through my big computer.
Right.
I'm going to go through my desktop, you know, or something like that versus your phone. Well, I think probably 9 out of every 10 people do banking on their phone.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. If your bank offers it, you do it.
The world has changed in that regard. I don't know that we can get out of the way of that gorilla. But at the same time, what's your thoughts on it? You feel it's, you know, has it been useful or a detriment?
Personally, for me, it's been extremely useful. I mean, with kids off of college or whatever, you're able to see what's going on transaction-wise. You can transfer money in an emergency if needed, that kind of thing. Super fast, super efficient. I love that. It helps us, Tanya and me, keep up with just things on a personal basis better. We can look at that, you know, and see. With me being an advisor, I'm super analytical on finances and things like that. So I can keep up with that much easier on mobile banking apps and things. So I like them personally. I think they do give you the ability to keep track of things easily. So they've done a really good job here in the last 3 to 5 years, I would say, of security on those things. They weren't that secure at first, but they are now, it seems like. And you know, you have the two-step identification a lot of times and all that kind of stuff that really helps
yeah.
to make sure that
yeah.
things are safe and secure with those banking apps. That's always been the issue with an app is security.
Sure,
you know,
for sure.
Making sure that your information is kept private. And so I like them. You know, how's your experience been with them? Do you like them
yeah,
too?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I said 9 out of 10 because I'm the 10th. I don't use them.
You don't like them?
No,
okay.
I just
no,
don't. Once I got kicked out a couple of times and it was like a pain in the tush to get logged back in
because
they wanted some sort of, you know, multiple verification, I was like, screw it. I don't use it enough that I don't need it. I'll just do it from the laptop or from the computer when I'm, you know, during the workday or something like that for a few things. So
that's all right.
Everybody's different, right? Everybody's
different. That's right. That's fine.
Hasn't changed things. But so my wife, for example, years ago was like, I'll never trust these things. I am not doing my best. And now that's all she does, right? So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So we adapt. Yeah. We adapt in weird ways.
Yeah, that's right.
Last one. I know this is not a purview that you do. It's not a service you provide, but I know you do refer people and work with people, obviously, from a financial standpoint, dealing with, you know, the estate planning side.
Oh,
things,
yeah,
right?
For sure. Definitely.
What do you think about, you know, online wills, trusts, you know, LegalZoom? I think if it's something really basic, maybe these things are useful, but...
I think that's exactly right, and I think that's the way most people look at it.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It is something that, yes, it's a template document, but, you know, surprisingly, that's what most attorneys use as well, are template documents. And so if you go to an attorney and you get a will, it's probably going to be a template. They just change the names, hopefully change the names in the will and from the last person they had in there. But, you know, the digital platform for estate planning is great, I think, for those simple things. If you need a power of attorney, if you need to do wills, that kind of thing. If you get into trusts, you know, complicated estate planning, that kind of thing, all of those sites will do that. LegalZoom, trustandwill.com, all of those will do that. But is it what you want? That's where you kind of run into trouble. And that's where I've seen these online estate planning services have transitioned probably in the last 5 years of offering also a consultation with an attorney, with a state author or state bar attorney, basically, that that you can talk to. So you can pay extra for a consultation there. And typically, it's still a little better price than if you went to a local attorney. Not always, but we have seen a tremendous spike in estate planning fees locally here.
Nice.
All right. It's been good.
Well, there you go. Some technology conversation, lots of stuff out there. I think like anything, hopefully we've certainly learned over the last number of years that technology can be great and it can be a pain in the tush. And so moderation has to be kind of the forefront.
That's right.
On how we deal with it. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. So, folks, thanks for hanging out with us when we're talking about technology. And hopefully, you know, if you've got some questions, need some help when it comes to using some of this stuff or how to find the right balance or just even finding someone to help you, you know, personally with your finance and your retirement, we'll reach out to Nathan as always and find him at thefinancialanswer.com. That's thefinancialanswer.com. Get yourself onto the calendar, have a consultation or conversation for yourself. And don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple or Spotify or YouTube, since Google's merged everything now to just the YouTube platform.
That's right.
You can check it all out there. And subscribing also, you know, kind of helps the podcast as well as let others know that might benefit from the message as well. So don't forget to do that. And we'll see you next time here on The Financial Answer. Thanks for hanging out, bud.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
Yeah, we'll catch you on the next episode. Don't forget to subscribe. We'll see you next time. Bye.
O'Brien and Associates is a registered advisory firm in Tennessee. This show is intended for information and educational purposes only. Consult with a qualified advisor before taking any action.